Well, what a week it's been, right? What a couple of weeks, actually, it's been. I find myself feeling very grateful to be living in Missouri right now, as we've been dealing with all of this. I've been amazed at how well you drive on the roads, at how well the roads actually get taken care of, and how amazingly the power tends to stay on. We lost power for only about 30 to 45 minutes. I've been thinking a lot about my friends in Texas. If you've been paying attention to the weather or to the news, you've seen they've really had it difficult down there. And so I think about the differences between how things have been handled there and when we were living there and the roads and how things are here, and we do find ourselves very grateful. Checking in with my friends, a lot of them are trying to, you know, keep up their spirits with humor. I've seen things they posted on Facebook. Probably a couple of my favorites was 2020, stay at home. 2021, same thing, but now we test your survival skills. So I thought that was pretty good. Another one said, you know, it sure looked a whole lot cuter being snowed in them Hallmark movies, which I can certainly relate to that. One of the things that is the same back home, back in Abilene, as it is here, is the mad rush to the grocery store that occurs when weather is predicted in the forecast. How many of you, like me, when you see it coming, you make a dash to the grocery store worried about how long you might be staying at home and how little food you actually have? And if you're like me, a plan completely goes out the window once you're in the grocery store and you're panicked and you're thinking, I just want to grab whatever it is I can, whatever might be left. And so you're dumping all kinds of things in your grocery basket that you don't really need. Like, who needs cans of hominy or hamburger helper? I haven't eaten that since I was a kid. But you put all this stuff in your grocery basket and you check out and you make a mad dash home, hoping to beat the weather. And then, if you are, again, like me, a certain part of your brain kicks in when you open up and you see all of these plastic bags and you think about how cold it is and you think, I can do this in one trip. Anybody with me on that? And so you begin to layer the plastic bags onto every digit that you own. And you layer as many as you can until your fingers are cramping with the weight of these bags that you carry. And before you make the gigantic lift to haul them into the house, you shout things like, everybody get out of the way! I've got one shot! And then you take off, and you're about halfway to the kitchen, and you realize that your hands are turning white and your fingers are turning purple, and you've made a huge error in putting the milk and the orange juice on your pinky fingers. And they're about to fall off until you finally get to the counter, and it's relief. How many of you had a bit of anxiety just listening to me tell that story? There's a relief that comes in finally being able to let down all of these bags that you've been carrying. As I thought about the lesson for this morning and what I wanted for us to think about together, that image stuck in my mind as a great image for what life can be like for us. Metaphorically, we all are carrying around bags full of unwanted items. Items that wear us out and tire us and become heavy and burdensome. And in these bags aren't things like hominy and hamburger helper, but instead it's things like worry and doubt. Bags full of questions like, why am I here? Am I good enough? Am I worth it? Does anybody see value in me? We carry these bags around full of questions like, who am I? Do I know who I am? Do I know what I'm for? Does anybody like me? Am I doing enough at work? Am I doing enough at school? Am I doing enough on social media so that everybody thinks I have an active life? We carry around so many bags and worries, fears, anxieties. We carry around with us trauma and pain that we've experienced in our lives, and we just are looking for a counter to lay them down on. But the problem is sometimes carrying around all of these bags full of unwanted items, we look for relief in the wrong places. If we're worried about work and whether or not we're doing enough, it might lead us to work harder, to put more hours in. Or am I doing enough at school and so I study harder and I spend all of my time only thinking and focusing on that? We carry around concerns about who we are, and so instead we, turning to appropriate things, we look at social media or culture or politics or our hobbies or whatever else they might be to inform our identity and who we are. And we carry around so much weight that we just get weary. We just get tired. How many of you can relate to one of my favorite quotes, Bilbo Baggins, in the first fellow in the Fellowship of the Ring? He says, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter over too much bread." Can anybody relate? What burdens are you carrying this morning? What weights are weighing you down, are wearing you out? I read this passage in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus says, "You can find rest for your soul." And I think, man, that sounds good. The word that Jesus uses here for soul in the original language is the word psyche. You probably heard this before, but psyche literally means or can be translated as life or lives. It denoted a person's true nature or core self, that place inside of you that makes you you. Jesus says that's what you can find rest for. Not just a nap, which sometimes I admit a nap is great, but you can find rest for your true self. Maybe that sounds good to you. It certainly sounds good to me. And so this morning, I just simply want us to think about these questions. How do we find rest for our souls? And what does that rest look like? What do I have in these bags that I'm carrying around that I need to lay aside, that are wearing me out, that are stretching me thin? How do I need to shift what I am going to, who I am turning to, or what I am turning to find relief? The answer will not surprise you. It begins and it ends with Jesus. I want us to take a look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along. Jesus offers us three very simple things to help us understand rest and to find it. And it begins in verse 25. And in verse 25, Jesus is frustrated. He's upset, and he goes to God with this prayer that is revealing. And he's frustrated because he has just spent time traveling around the Sea of Galilee, teaching, preaching, doing all kinds of mighty works. And yet nobody is paying attention. Nobody is truly understanding or truly seeing who Jesus is and what he has to offer. And he gets upset about it. In fact, even John the Baptist, who's in prison at the beginning of chapter 11, hears about what Jesus is doing and sends word to say, are you the one? Even John is somehow missing the truth of who Jesus is. And so in verse 20, Jesus begins to denounce the cities where these works have been done. And he says, you know what, it would be better for Tyre or Sidon, even Sodom, if I had done what I have been doing among them, they would be repenting with sackcloth and ashes. But yet you guys are missing. You're missing it. And so in verse 25, he says, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and instead revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and any to whom the Son chooses to reveal. So this is the first place to start. And it has to do with a proper position of our heart. The first step in finding rest for our souls is taking a look inside and seeing where we are. He has a contrast, a compare and contrast between those who are wise and intelligent and the little children. we have to take a look at our own hearts to determine whether or not we are the wise and intelligent or whether we are the little children. What's the difference? He's been traveling around the Sea of Galilee, talking to Jews, and as was his custom, he would typically go to the synagogues first. He's talking to people who should get it. He's talking to people who are in the loop, who are in the know, who should have been paying attention for the signs of his coming. These are the people who should have been prepared to receive him, to see who he was and what it was he was offering, and yet they could not let go of their own way of viewing the world, their own way of being in the world, their own way of making sense of all of their struggles and their problems. They couldn't let go of that. And so he says, instead, you have revealed it to the little children. The difference here between the wise and intelligent and the little children are little children, if you've ever spent much time with kids, they are full of wonder, asking questions and wholly dependent upon somebody else to show them the way. We are to be like children as we come to God, not holding on to our know-it-all attitudes, not holding on to our own way of doing things, our own way of coping, our own way of dealing, but instead, as little children, open hearts, open eyes, being dependent upon Jesus for him to show us his way instead. Where are you at this morning? Are you stuck in a loop of trying to handle things on your own, doing it your way, making sense of the world in your standards or the world's standards, or are instead we have this position of our heart that says, I am simply open to who Jesus is and to what his way is. The second thing he says is, come to me. He continues in this passage and he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First, we are to cast aside the way that we think we ought to be doing things and handling things, and instead, like a child with open hearts, open eyes to Jesus, we are to next come to him. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we? Are we coming to Jesus? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, initially, the readers of Matthew and the listeners at the time would have associated this probably with the law. In fact, in chapter 23, Jesus calls the law that the Jews would follow, right? He calls it cumbersome and heavy, a weight on their shoulders. Jesus says, come to me, you who are burdened and cumbered and weighted down by the law. Come to me instead, and I will give you rest. Now, we are sitting here far removed from the law, far removed from all that it had to offer us, but I think sometimes we are burdened down by other things, other ways of trying to make sense of the world, other concerns and anxieties and fears that hold us back. How many of you feel like you are heavy burdened? How many of us feel weary from the weights, the bags of groceries that we're carrying? Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 6 and 7, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. So the first question is, have we come to Jesus? And most of us here in this room have, right? There is a sense initially in which we come to Jesus by putting him on in baptism, receiving the forgiveness of our sins. But that isn't a once and for all gesture. This is a continuance, a continually going to Jesus. So first, have you come to Jesus? Second, are you still? Are you finding persistent and intentional ways to come to Jesus with your problems, to come to Jesus with your burdens, to come to him with all the things that weigh you down? And it may seem as though thinking about picking up a life of adding more things to our life doesn't help to ease our burdens, but if the only time you are coming to Jesus is this morning, it's not enough. I love to use this. I've used it numerous times, but let's say pre-pandemic when we were meeting all the time and you could be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday class, Wednesday class, you were only giving 1% of your week and the time available to you to God. What other area in your life can survive on 1%? If the only time we think about intentionally coming to Jesus is when we show up here, it is not enough. This is a springboard. This is a help place. This is a place to find encouragement and inspiration, but we have to do more. How are you working on your relationship with God? Every day, coming to Jesus, bringing Him your cares and your concerns. We read Scripture and we can pray. We need to do it every day. And it will give us rest. Let me give you an example. One of my favorite types of prayer is called centering prayer. And if you spend much time around me, you will hear me suggest this prayer to you. And you may have already. But it's a prayer that doesn't ask me to really do much, to say much. All it asks is for me to think about who God is, who Jesus is to me in an image, a word, or a phrase. And then I use that image, that word, or that phrase to just guard my thoughts for a period of time. I keep it first and foremost in my mind, and I find rest in this image of who He is. Many of you may be aware, may not, but over the holiday, our family was in a car accident. And any of you who have ever been in through an accident or anything similar to that know that what happens afterwards can just linger and haunt you for a while. And after it was over, I would just have these moments where I would close my eyes or I'd find a quiet moment and I would just see flashes of this white truck bearing down on us. I could feel and hear the impact. I could hear my family screaming in the car. And all this worry and all this anxiety and all this fear would begin to bubble up and I would start asking, what could I have done differently? How did I make a mistake? Or what if this had happened or this had happened and how things might have played out differently? And every time those things would come up, I would just try to distract myself. I would try to read or watch TV or I would get on my phone or I would play a game or I would try to eat or try to just take a nap. And if you've ever been in that situation, you know that that might work for a time, but as soon as you get a quiet moment, it's there, waiting. And finally, I remembered this prayer. And one night I was laying in bed, I just conjured up this image of who Jesus is to me, who God was to me. In that moment, it was a picture of a rock, a refuge. And instead of trying to distract myself, instead of trying to just tamp all those worries and those anxieties and those fears, instead, I just let them come. I let them rise to the surface, and one by one, as they would present themselves, I would just use that image of who God is, of who Jesus is, to take control of it, to take ownership of that feeling, of that worry, of that anxiety. And one by one, rather than just trying to ignore it, I would just feed it to God, feed it to this image of who He was. And it sounds crazy, but after a week or two, a day or two, I found rest. I found that I was able to let those things go. What are you doing to persistently, intentionally bring your worries, your cares, your burdens and concerns to Him? I encourage you to find ways to do that. The third thing that He says is, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this verse as a kid, I would imagine Jesus cracking an egg on the head of His disciples. I didn't have any idea what the word yoke was all about or what that meant. And that didn't seem all that helpful to me, to have an egg broke on my face and that's going to give me rest. But later, as I began to study and do more, I realized that yoke means something else. In the Old Testament, when the word yoke was used, especially in Jeremiah, it was this image that would come to people's mind. Many of us have our idea of what yoke is, and sometimes we don't understand that at least initially a yoke was a human yoke. And it came to symbolize servitude and slavery, an unwanted burden being placed upon your shoulders. And a yoke was what made it easier to bear another's burdens, work that wasn't your own. Later, the Jews began to adapt this imagery of a human yoke to think about the law, about something that's being placed on your shoulders and allowing you to bear through life. So as Jesus is talking about a yoke, this is one of the images that he has in mind. A yoke represented something that you serve. And of course, for them, it was the law. And he's saying, instead of that yoke, bearing that yoke, instead bear mine. And as we've mentioned, maybe we're not bearing the yoke of the law anymore, but we all serve something. We serve something that gives us our purpose, that gives us our identity, that pushes us forward in life. And those yokes are burdensome and heavy. And it may be counterintuitive to think about it this way, but Jesus says, I'm not talking about just casting everything off and being free and clear. I'm asking you to exchange the yoke that you're bearing for mine. Because I am gentle and lowly. The benefit in taking up Jesus' yoke is in who you serve. You serve someone who loves you. You serve someone who you love and who asks you to bear this yoke. There's another image that might come to your mind, one that we are more familiar with, and it's this one. The image of two animals being paired together in order to make work easier, to make loads easier to pull, and the amount of things that you can pull become much easier. This is also a very encouraging image for us to consider. Because there are two benefits to this system. One, it puts two together that allow them to carry so much easier what they have to bear. But more importantly, I think, in Jesus' mind, is the fact that it was the practice to pair an older, more experienced animal with a younger, inexperienced one, so that that younger, inexperienced one might learn how to pull from the master, learn how it might bear the load from its master, and lean on it when things got too hard. When Jesus says, I want you to take up my yoke, he's saying, I want you to be partnered with me so that you can lean on me, but more specifically, he says, so that you can learn from me. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy here can also be translated as kind. My yoke, my way of understanding the world, my way of being in the world, my mission, my purpose is easy and it's kind. Jesus says, if you want to truly find rest for that inner self, if you want to find rest for your soul, for your life, for that deep inside place that is looking for meaning, is looking for identity, is looking for purpose, he says, take up mine. It's kind. And it's light because I'm helping you bear it, and it really boils down to just a couple of things. In chapter 22, he says, everything, all the law, all the prophets, all of those yokes that you used to bear, it all really comes down to two things. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. Jesus says, this is your mission. This is your purpose. For those of you who wonder who you are, for those of you who wonder, why am I here? What is my purpose? Jesus says, you were created for a purpose. You have value, you have worth, and it is found in this, in partnering with me in my mission. So number one, where is your heart? Number two, are you going to Jesus? And number three, are you partnering with him in his mission, in his way of being in the world? What is your piece of that? What is your place in his mission and in his purpose? What has God gifted you to do that he can help you pull the burden? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This morning, I want to encourage you, if you relate to any part of what I've said, any part of bearing a burden or having confusion about who you are and what's your purpose, the answers are here. It is in partnering with Jesus in his mission and his purpose for this world. It's in coming to him in consistent and persistent ways with a heart that says, I give up knowing how to do this myself. I'm ready to trust in you. Maybe you have yet to first come to Jesus. If you need help with that, we can help you. Maybe you need help laying aside whatever yoke is around your neck, whether it's image or doubt, worry, fear, anxiety, whatever it might be. We want to help you. And we also want to help you figure out where your place is in his kingdom, what mission you are going to help Jesus accomplish. That is how we truly find rest in fulfilling his purpose with our life. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, please come while we stand and sing.